Those of you who had the opportunity to come in this morning for Bible class heard Brother Orr speak and teach the Bible class. He has an interesting way of teaching. I look forward to hearing him speak this morning. May I introduce Brother Charles Orr from Orlando, Florida.
I am delighted to be here. We appreciate very much the invitation to come, and of course, we were glad to come. We appreciate the elders extending us this invitation. Your fine preacher of the gospel, J.B., I feel as though I know him through one of my sons in the gospel, Brother Bobby McClure, and his fine wife, Portia. We have enjoyed immensely their fellowship. We're saddened because our wife could not be here. But nonetheless, God has blessed us to be here, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for you and your presence on this morning. We hope, as we study together from God's word, that you will be able to leave here, one, in peace, to be edified, to be built up in the most holy faith. And so we're very, 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 very grateful. We covet your prayers. In behalf of the church where we've been laboring, these 34 years, the Church of Christ that meets the west side of Orlando, Florida. If you're ever in our city, please come by and visit us. We're not hard to find. We're located on the street that is called Mercy, 1825 North Mercy Drive. And so it fits, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It fits. I, for a few moments, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, would like to address the subject, come now, let us reason together. And the Bible says in Romans 15 and verse number 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We need the Old Testament to build up our faith. I know that there are some who would say, no, all we need is the New Testament, but I beg to differ. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 6, these things are written for our admonition, to the end that we should not lust after those things which they lusted after. God has given us evidence of how he acts when we act right and how he acts when we act wrong. And so we can learn. It builds faith, that essential element to our salvation. For without it, Hebrews 11 and 6, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we need the Old Testament, don't we? Yes, we do. And without it, I would dare say, dear brethren, it would be hard for us to make it into God's heaven. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Lord says to Israel, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Reason. What does it mean? It simply means, according to Thayer and James Hastings, to judge or to decide a thing. In order for one to judge or make judgment or to make a decision, there must be presented before him two or more sides or two or more things. We see this right here in the very text where God offered two things to ponder from whence to make a decision to Israel. And keep in mind, at this time, Israel was in sin. In fact, in this very chapter, verse 6 through 10, from the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, Israel is laden with sin. There is no soundness in her. Nothing but bruises and petrifying sores. The whole head is sick. Do you not know when leadership, the head, is sick, the whole body is sick? Because the body gets its nourishment from the head. And without the head being well, what happens to the body? Israel was laden with sin, and God wanted to reason with her. Verses 19 through verse number 20, notice the two sides. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. I have a choice to make. Israel had a choice to make. If you wanted to be blessed, if you wanted to eat the good of the land, you had to be willing and obedient. But if not, you could be devoured with the sword. They had a decision to make. But in order for them to make a right decision, one must consider the source of the information that is given. Well, in the book of Isaiah, the source of this message was God. Is it not true? Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For who? The mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Throughout the book of Isaiah, God is doing the talking. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 3, the God of Jacob is speaking. Chapter 1 and verse 24, therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. In chapter 13 and verse number 6, he is referred to as the Almighty. In chapter 37 and verse number 16, he is referred to as the one who made heaven and earth. God is speaking. God has presented to Israel two things to ponder. And from these two, a decision, a judgment had to be made. Because God, who's speaking? God is speaking. It's like Merrill Lynch. Y'all ever heard the commercial? When Merrill Lynch speaks, everybody listen. Well, when God speaks, everyone ought to listen. Israel should have listened. When you and I are to make a judgment, we must then consider the source of the information that is given to us. The information that we're going to be using today, that is this morning and this evening, be it the Lord's will, it is the Bible. Do you not know that God is the source of the Bible? In Psalm 68 and verse number 11, the Bible says, the Lord gave the word and great was the company of them that published it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible said, all scripture, how much? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the verses 19 through verse number 21, Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Notice, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, I wish all of humanity would get this straight. This Bible was not generated by men. No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will, the desire of men. But holy men of God spake as they were literally carried along by God. God is the one who is the source of the Bible. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, And I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has been committed unto me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Notice, God through revelation made known unto Paul the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few. I'm trying to show you how you got your Bible and where it came from. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed through his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11. For what thing knoweth a man save the spirit of the man that is in him? God's Spirit revealed to mankind his will. And Paul, one of those men, wrote down what the Spirit told them so you and I could have it. We have God's word. He is the source of the information that we're discussing this morning. And dear friends, we must read it and study it as if God is speaking directly to us. Bible was written for our learning, as we stated, Romans 15 and verse number 4, for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. It was given to us so that we would have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I would to God that we would understand that. How to live in this life in a godly manner is recorded in this book. Not just the New Testament, the whole Bible, it's here. When I read the Old Testament, I learn how God punished people who did not obey him. I learn how God rewarded people who did obey him. And when it comes to the New Testament, I learn what God wants me to do in order to be obedient unto him, and what God promises to do if I'm not obedient to him. God is the source of the Bible, last time I read. And it's given unto us in it all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, according as his divine power has given unto us how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, the Bible is God's will. It's God's mind put in print. He is the source of the Bible. Can't say that about the Quran. Can't say that about the Mishnah. Can't say that about the Talmud. You can't even say that about the Torah. But you can say that about the Bible. It is God's word. It is written to inform us about the very Son of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 7. The Bible says, then said I, Jesus is speaking, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he says, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. If I want to know about Jesus, then the very Son of God, I've got to go to God's word. Go to the Old Testament from Genesis 3 and verse 15 all the way to the end of Malachi. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. When I get into Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1, he's here. When I get in Acts in verse number 1, verse 9, he's gone back. But he's coming again. If I want to know about God's Son, Jesus Christ, I've got to go to the right source. God. God is the only one that can tell me about his Son. And I must know about his Son. In Matthew chapter 10, turn over there. Jesus said something very interesting, and I think it would help us if we would look at it and come to understand it. I'm sorry, chapter 11. So many scriptures running around in his head. I thank God for it. But notice what Jesus says. Let's begin in verse number 27. He says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man," now listen to this, "no man knoweth the Son but the Father." If I am going to know about the Son of God, and I must know, for he is the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, I'm going to have to go to the one that knows him. I can't get to God by just staying out here on my own, because I don't know the way, do I? No. I cannot bow down in prayer and say, "Lord, show me," because he doesn't operate in a miraculous way today, does he? No. But I can go to his word, and I can learn about his Son. He has declared him unto us. He says, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father." He says, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save" who? "The Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now look how God fixed this thing in this Bible, y'all. If you want to know the Son, you've got to get the information from his daddy. If you want to know the Father, you got to get the information from the Son. So where is the information? Right here in this book. God is the source of this information. We alluded in Bible class to John 6:63. Where Jesus spoke of the word being the spirit, literally spiritual. Jesus said, it's the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What do you mean? They're spirit breathed. They're given by God. And they're given to us so that we can know his Son. So that we can believe in his Son. So confusing for many people is God and his actions and his Son and his deity. In John chapter 1 and verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Notice, the Son made everything. Now, how am I going to know that without God's word? Sounds confusing, doesn't it? How could the word be the Son? And the Son be the word? And the Son be God? Easy. The Father and the Son are one. They have the same aim, that is goal. They have the same purpose. The intent of both of them is to save all of us. That's why Jesus came. And the only way I'm going to know that is to go to God's word so I can learn that, and I can know that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. Verse 14 of John 1, "And the word became" what? "Flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, filled with grace and with truth." As I reason, as I make judgment, I must consider the source of the information given from which to make judgment. When we talk about salvation, we talk about heaven. We must go to God's book, the Bible, and therein and thereby reason appropriately. Not only that, this Bible was written to inform us that Jesus is God, who left heaven and came to earth. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 5. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also" where? "In Christ Jesus,
who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Father is testifying in his word of his Son. Lord, help us this morning. Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth to die on a cruel cross for you and for me. He did it willingly. No man take my life. I lay it down that I might take it again. Jesus was willing. And I learned this from the Bible, from reasoning from what God has said. Not only that, this Bible is written to inform us that Jesus Christ came to save. You know, I'm so happy that God didn't choose a multiplicity of people to try to save me. That would be so confusing. I'm so thankful that he did not give us a whole bunch of religious writings to point us toward his Son to be saved, because that would be even more confusing. I am grateful that he sent his Son, and he sent him in writing in the volume of this book. That's the information concerning him. I am grateful. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 11, we find this rendering. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10 says, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This Bible informs us that we are lost. All of humanity is lost. In Romans 3 and verse number 10, there's none interesting. Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. Interesting in that in chapter 1, it talks about the Jews being lost. In chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3, it talks about the Gentiles being lost. And then in verse 10, he says, neither one of them are righteous, Jew nor Gentile. Neither one are right with God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This Bible is a magnificent book. God's mind in print. He is the source of it to teach us about salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the very author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9. This Bible is written also to help us understand the means by which, I want y'all to get that this morning, the means by which Jesus would save us. And we know it because of what the Bible said, his blood. And we talk about it all the time, even in the institution of the Last Supper, as was read to us by our dear brother on this morning in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 28. Jesus said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. We find a similar rendering in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen, and the blood of his Son Jesus cleanseth us. It continues to cleanse us as we walk according to his will. Jesus Christ's shed blood on the cross was the means by which you and I would be saved. This book also informs us the medium in which he would save us. It's his body. Amen. You know, folk shy away from the church being the medium in which God would save us. I never read anywhere in the Bible where any accountable person could be saved outside of the church. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse number 22, well, maybe we should drop the verse 32 first. Paul said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Concerning who? Christ and the church. Now let's go back up and let's see what he's talking about. Verse 22, wives ought to submit themselves unto their own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. All of the saved are in the definite article denoting one and only, and I know it's not in the Koine. There is no definite article in the Koine. But in order to effectively translate from the Latin and the Koine into English, that definite article had to be there. We couldn't understand it. There is one church. In fact, that church is described as the body of Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, have placed all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Without the church, without the body of Christ, you and I could not be saved, being of an accountable mind. That is a mind that can understand, that can comprehend the very will of God. You and I are responsible to God, reasoning together. From the very word of God, we must accept what God has said about salvation. It is only by way of means through the blood of Christ. It is only by way of medium through his body, the church. Now watch this. In Acts chapter 2, this is at the establishment of the church of Christ. Now when I do week meetings and 2 week meetings, we break this down a little further. But it's time consuming. Amen. Now, y'all remember in verse number 37, they were pricked in their hearts, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, how many? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And remember, we all have what? Sin. For the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in verse number 40, with many other words, he testified in his oath, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And with many other words, he told them the other things they had to do. Then they that gladly received his words, the book says, they were baptized. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse number 47 of Acts 2, they were praising God and having favor with all of the people. Now get this. And the Lord added to the church daily, literally, such as were being saved. All of the saved are in the church. The church of Christ. He only has one body. And some of my brethren are afraid to say that. Jesus Christ says, let us reason together. God the Father says, let us reason together. Let's make a judgment. Jesus Christ built one church, not a multiplicity of them. And if we want to be saved, if we want to be safe from the wrath of God, we've got to be in that body. But we can't get in it without the blood. Without what now? The blood of Jesus Christ. John 19, verse number 34. When Jesus went to that cruel cross on Calvary, y'all remember the story, don't you? You remember how one Judas Iscariot, one that walked with Jesus, an apostle even, loved money. I'm going to paraphrase this through, but give you plenty of scripture. You can go read it. And y'all remember how that he went and sold Jesus out for 300 pence. Isn't that something? He betrayed the very Son of God. But Jesus knew he was going to do it. He said, the one that dippeth his finger in this dish with me, that's the one. And Judas looked at him, what thou doest, do it quickly. Now, what does this speak to the humanity of Jesus? You got to understand that Jesus was divine, but he was a man. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "And yet ye seek to kill me, a man that have only told you the truth." He suffered as a man, not as God. You remember Hebrews 5 and verse 8? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience how? Through the things which he suffered. He suffered as a man. He hungered, Matthew chapter 4, as a man. He thirsted, John 4, as a man. He walked as a man. He talked as a man. Y'all gonna get this in a minute. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Like as we are, as men are. Jesus was a man and yet God. And he died as a man. Thirsting and hungering, Judas betrayed him into the hands of sinful men. And they went to that garden by night. And you remember when they went to him and asked him, was he the Christ? Peter drew his sword, cut off the high priest's servant's ear. And Jesus rebuked him, put away thy sword into its sheath. Know ye not that I could have called 10,000 angels to defend me if I needed defending? And y'all remember they took him, my Lord and your Lord, to the judgment hall. They stripped his clothes off him. They spit on him, slapped him. I'm in Matthew 26. Slapped him with the palms of their hands. And y'all remember in all of this, he said not a mumbling word. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head, an old rugged cross on his shoulders, and they made him carry it up old Golgotha's hill. And when he got to the top, they drove staves in his hands, and they suspended him up between two worlds. And even in this, he said not a word against them falsely. Only, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible says he cried, I thirst. They gave him wine vinegar mingled with gall. Looked up into heaven, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Bowed his head and gave up the ghost. About the ninth hour came the soldiers to break the legs of all of them that were upon the cross. But when they came to Jesus, saw he was already dead. One of the soldiers, I'm in John 19 now, taking his spear, pierced him in his side, and forthwith came out both blood and water. Thank God for the blood. But oh, thank God for the water. Because when your blood mixes with your water, you are D-E-A-D, dead. And when you have the blood of Christ affixed through the word of God and your acceptance of it by faith and repentance, you'll confess the name of Jesus Christ, and then you are buried in the watery grave of baptism, dead with him down there in that water. And God performs surgery. It's the operation of God, Colossians 2:12. And you come up out of that watery grave of baptism, a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You are now in Christ. The blood, the means. The church, the medium. And without both, you cannot be saved. If you're here this morning, God wants to reason with you. God says, listen, I sent my son to die for you. He did come. Y'all beat him up and did everything to him. And I knew you was going to do that. But he was willing of himself to give his life for your sins and for the whole world. Went to that cross for you. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, a tomb in which no man had ever been laid. Roll a stone in front of the tomb. Put two squadrons of soldiers on either side. But early, one Sunday morning, came Mary and that other Mary that anointed the feet of Jesus to the sepulcher. And the Bible says, as they came, the earthquake. And they were so affrighted. That's not bad English. That's what the book says, Mark chapter 16 and around verse 4. Looked up, saw the stone roll away. Went inside, saw two men dressed in white. He's not here, whom thou seekest. Go tell his disciples. And she ran there, then she took. But they did like most of us. They didn't believe. Most of you may not believe this morning. But if you have the right heart and you're willing to put these parts together, the reason demands that you accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, and his body, the church, as the one and only medium through which you can be saved. Oh, are you here this morning? Are you here? And maybe you're here and you're already a member of the Church of Christ, and somewhere along the way you let the word slip, Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Sometimes we allow God's truth to just go the other way, don't we? Yes, we do. You can repent. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful. And he's what? Just. To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I trust, dear friends and dear brethren, if you're subject to God's invitation, you'll get up from where you are right now, reason with him, obeying his word as we together stand and sing.